Hi, this is Larissa Raleigh. This is my first podcast for 2016, and I am welcoming Eugenia from Chicago area. We're going to talk about growing up in two cultures, and we have a fun story about sweeping a dirt floor and a wonderful quote, "Flourish in your enjoyment of the world." So I wanted to talk a bit today about growing up with multiple languages, multiple cultures, how you, Eugenia, see that has impacted your life, your career. I feel that every culture does things differently and we can learn from each other. You were brought up with two cultures, Mexican and American. Can you briefly talk about growing up in Chicago area?
As you mentioned, I am a firstborn generation American, born to parents from Mexico, who became naturalized citizens, came over to the States to work and to improve their family life. The beautiful thing, I think, about it is that I am bilingual and fluent in both. And I think I attribute that to the fact that every summer my parents made it a goal of taking the entire family every year for a month to Mexico during the summer. And so that, yes, it was a lot of fun. It was always a road trip because we went in a vehicle and we took a lot of goods and items to the entire family on both sides because my parents were from different parts of Mexico. Items for both sides of the family, all ages, all sizes. It was just wonderful. And as soon as we got there, it was an instant connection because of the work that they had done to help instill that in us and instill the family values and to stay connected, to love one another, give to one another, support one another, and do whatever it takes. And so it was beautiful. And through the years that continued with the whole family, to this day, don't really understand how we all fit in a regular vehicle. But we did, and we made it through all the flat tires, et cetera, and the car being loaded down.
Do you recall any funny stories growing up, interacting with American kids or maybe other people that didn't speak Spanish?
Almost all of my friends, we were all first-born generation Americans, with all of our parents being from third world, so to speak, countries. That being my parents from Mexico, my best friends, her dad was from Yugoslavia, her mother was from Scotland. And my other best friend, her parents were from Poland. And the other culture that was with us growing up were Greeks. All of us spoke at least two languages. Some people were sometimes straight off the boat. I can still remember one of my friends, Sonia, in third grade, coming straight off the boat and did not speak any English, didn't understand any English, only spoke Serbian. And wow. We were in third grade, and to this day, we are still friends because we all spoke English. We all grew up speaking our parents' native language and our English native language. We never really had any difficulty or sharing things with one another because a lot of the core values were the same and our family were very similar. So I think the beautiful thing of that was that my best friends were Serbian and Polish, and I was Mexican, and yet none of us spoke one another's language, but we all spoke English, and in our homes, we all kept culture of our parents.
So you got exposed to even more cultures in many ways.
Definitely. I mean, my best friend's father, who was Serbian, would sometimes jokingly change my name and make it Serbian by adding itch to the end of it to make it sound Serbian. And we laughed about it all the time. I can dance all the Serbian dances. I can dance all the Greek dances. Oh, and the Polish dances, the Mexican dances as well. And one of the funny stories as far as mixing the two cultures together, which was a little odd, was the American values that you're just not aware of the two different things going on simultaneously. So it was very interesting. I think that's the beauty of having additional cultures or being exposed to them, whether it be by your own personal family or by traveling. One interesting story that I had when I was young, I remember going to a very small town outside of Guadalajara. The home that we lived in had a dirt floor. It was had a ceiling and everything, and the bedrooms were regular bedrooms. But after that was the corral. The main living area there was all dirt floor, hard packed down dirt floor. And I recall my mother asking me one day, I must have been in elementary school, able to sweep and much experience sweeping. And so she asked me to sweep in the main area where everyone was coming in, and we had guests there. And so she asked me to sweep, and I decided to say, well, why? It's a dirt floor. So that's the American side coming out. It's a dirt floor, it's dirt, what am I sweeping? And then she quickly corrected that with our culture and our values and things of that sort, and the style of living as well. And she showed me that, I almost did get in trouble, but I listened well, that it doesn't matter whether it's a dirt floor, a expensive wood floor, a tile floor, whatever it may be, but you should always keep everything clean, tidy, and to the best of your ability, no matter what it is, whether you have the most expensive floors possible, or a dirt floor. And so then I was the best dirt floor sweeper after that, putting lines in the floor and everything. So it was great. So I learned that, and actually with that experience in the business that we run now with employees, and sometimes having to train individuals on doing their best and them feeling that some items are beneath them or not doing their best, I'm able to still recall that experience and apply it to today, to the younger individuals who have much different upbringings, who haven't been exposed to many things. They're able to sometimes apply it and understand it.
I love this story. Great
Yeah, I'm a great
sweeper.
sweeper.
And starting with where you are, whatever you have, you take care of it and appreciate it and
That's
value
it.
it. When you see people that don't have access to more than one culture that maybe weren't raised as you were and your friends were, do you feel that they are missing out in some way?
Well, it's hard for me to say, and I don't want to be judgmental because I don't know the other lifestyle, so it's very difficult for me to answer that directly. But in my opinion, as far as what I gain from it, I think they are lacking a little something. I think they can nurture that and expose themselves to it in a different way, whether it be through friends, work, or travel. I do think that it is necessary to be exposed to that because there's so many beautiful things, whether they be simple or physical, as far as the trees, the beaches, a rainfall, the water running down a mountain. There's so many beautiful things in so many different areas that I think if you are exposed to other cultures, then you're better able to either assimilate, understand, or at least be open to seeing how other people can enjoy other parts of the world and truly flourish in your enjoyment of the world that we live in. It's so magnificent that
I like that flourish in your enjoyment of the world. That's beautiful. Would you say it's increased your interconnectedness?
I would say so. I think I am fortunate enough that while I may not totally keep contact with everyone in other places, I have been able to establish and have very nice friendships with people from a variety of different cultures, whether they be from different Latino American countries or European countries or even other places that I had not even known of, like Tonga.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so little did I know that when I stand with those that are from Tonga or from Malaysia, I blend right in. That is another thing all outside of being exposed to culture, but it just makes it very interesting, and I just wouldn't exchange it for anything else.
What other resources out of your upbringing do you see useful, maybe in your job now or the family support that you talked about when you were younger? Is that something that still plays a big part in your family, both in Mexico and here?
It still really does. Fortunately, all the hard work and the effort that it took to take the entire family to Mexico every year kept my entire family, all my cousins, first cousins everywhere, whether they're in Mexico, California, Chicago, Florida, wherever they might be, allowed us as a family unit to stay very closely related. And longer periods of time when maybe we didn't see one another or speak to one another.
And that was before internet
That is
and
what I
things.
was exactly what I was going to get to. That now, the very interesting thing is that I'll give one example, a very close bond that I had as a very young girl with one of my first cousins who was older at the time. I mean, older, she maybe was 18 and I was probably 5. You know, and I got to that small town. I was going to be going wherever she went. She had to take me everywhere she went. And the beauty now is, one day, to my pleasant surprise, I got a Facebook request, friend request from her, who I had
Oh,
not
wow.
spoken to in probably 15 years, just due to circumstances. She had her family, lived in Mexico, you know, her kids were growing up, etc. And just time and circumstances, it allowed that love and that bond to be there instantaneously. And it was as if we never missed a beat. And the other
Oh,
family
yeah.
members who we continue to see, again, we don't miss a beat. So I think there are a lot of advantages to being exposed, to keeping up with them.
Your parents did a fabulous job of laying a very strong foundation and keeping those values going.
I think so. I think so. We're fortunate in that regard that they did teach us those values and ensure that that foundation was laid and instill it in us. Don't know how it'll work for the remainder of the kids, but so far, so good. Everyone is still able to be in contact, and it's even more beautiful because as everyone is more interconnected through the internet and you know, living and doing other things, everyone is getting even more connected. So it's nice, and I think that allows us when we have an opportunity to travel to other countries, as you know, I have had a chance to do on occasion, or other cities. It just makes you more aware, more open to the variety of the people, the uniqueness, and the beauty that each culture can offer, and if you're accepting and open to it, how it can benefit and enrich your life as well.
In addition to sort of this solid foundation and ties back to Mexico and the extended family, did your parents cook or dance or the music, things like that, and any of these traditions or cultural aspects play a big role as well?
The foods we ate, it was all the same things that they ate back home. Sometimes we did mix in American items, such as Thanksgiving. That was not a Mexican tradition. We did celebrate it. All our festivities growing up always included the Mexican music, the laughter, the sharing. Our front door never would stop opening during the holidays and even throughout the week, because it was just a receptive nature of us, and we were just fortunate with that. So yes, we sang, we danced, and now wherever we go, whether it be a wedding, an anniversary, we can dance, we can sing, we know the words,
Create the
yeah,
party.
and we can create the party and enjoy one another and re
And I've seen you
reminisce.
dancing. You can backlead anyone, so.
You're too kind. I don't think so.
When you go back to Mexico, does it feel like going home then?
For me personally, it does. Sometimes I do struggle with that because I do feel it is home, because I've been there so many times. I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar with the homes. It's the same places I've been going. I live within at a house of a family, you know, my family. It just makes it automatic. It's automatic. I get a car, you know, whether it's a cousin usually gives me a car. There's no need for hotels or anything else. And it's just everything falls in place, and it's you don't skip a lot of time getting acclimated. So it is like home, but it's unusual in the fact that my home is here, and when I'm coming back here, I feel like, wow, I'm coming home again. So it's interesting. It's interesting. I can't describe as to why or how. It does feel like home in both locations.
It's a good feeling. Do you know a good Mexican restaurant in Chicago?
Well, there's so many good restaurants in Chicago. It just really depends what you want to eat. There are phenomenal chefs. Now with the internet, you can actually see more of that with the foodies. That is the big thing right now. But even in Oaxaca and other places in Mexico, there's chefs coming from all over the world now because they're learning the beauty of the culture. And the nice thing about Mexico, it is so large that within
itself,
it's
so varied.
Yes,
so varied as well.
Within itself, it is so varied, and there are these like subcultures. So again, it makes traveling throughout the country phenomenal, whether it be foods, tastes, people, it's all different. So it's just beautiful. So I would recommend to anyone, don't just eat tacos. There are so many other wonderful foods that are available to taste and to try from the food that is only found in Mexico, and
mm-hmm.
some of the great chefs that are able to create these great plates there. And a lot of those can be found in Chicago. One of my favorite is Nuevo León in Pilsen. But
great restaurant suggestion. Getting hungry. Well, I would like to thank you, Eugenia, for your time and thoughts about growing up with multiple languages. And I love the story about sweeping, and I love your quote, flourish in your enjoyment of the world that we live in.
No problem. I appreciate the opportunity and travel the world and get to know the beauty of it.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks,
All
Eugenia.
Right. Hey, no problem, man. I hope.
But I like the story of sweeping. That's so true. I remember vaguely, I mean, I don't remember where it was, but I'm sure when I was back in Senegal, I noticed that again. You know, a lot of people have dirt floors, and they take great pride and keep it all clean and everything. But it's sort of this contradiction, like keeping a dirt floor clean, like
I'm
it's
like,
dirt.
It's dirt. It's dirt, Matt.
You're cleaning dirt?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I almost got whooped for it because, you know, I gave that. I mean, that was a smart ass response.
It's important to keep the dirt floor clean.
Mm-hmm. For the bugs, the ants, all of that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Just
but you don't,
make it
you
look
know,
make it look more tidy.
Tidy.
And,
yeah.
And
oh,
kept,
yeah.
thought, you know, cared
can,
about.
I can do it nice now. You know, lines, you know, bristle lines, you know, all one direction. You could put a pattern in it. Diagonal. No, it's very nice. Oh, my God. But anyway, I learned that lesson fast.
Amongst others, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, when they come up, you know, sometimes you don't think about it till.
Well, exactly. You don't sometimes appreciate maybe all the things that sort of that. Well, if you made it this far, I applaud you. This was my very first podcast, and it was so stiff. Did everything wrong. We'd practiced a few days before, and everything was very fluid, like you hear after we thought the recording had stopped. But despite how bad it is, there is actually a moral. It is found in the story of sweeping the dirt floor and appreciating what you have. This first podcast is my dirt floor. I edited it, I cleaned it up, I'm making it available to the world. So the next time in your business you think you don't have anything to work with, you don't have anything to be proud of, I want you to go appreciate the followers you do have and go comment back on the last people that liked your post. Start with where you are. And my podcasts are only going to get better. Please let me know if you have any travel insights. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks for staying with me until the end.